then we'll be having drinks when he stops.
Thanks, Ruth. It is good to be back here again. I was here a year ago, actually 11 months ago, did a weekend with Brian and Mary and really enjoyed that. And I met their dog.
Yay!
And survived. That was just before we got a dog. We got a puppy. My wife's been training this puppy for the Guide Dog Association. And so we had a mad little puppy for a few months and she's now a bit more settled down, which has been good. I noticed when I came home a few days that the carpet had been chewed and the chairs had been chewed, and it was not a great blessing to me at that stage, I have to say. But now the dog is good. But anyway, it's really good to be here and to see a number of familiar faces again. We've mentioned the offering. I just want to mention a little bit about what we're going to do with that. We want to cover the costs of the day, first of all, out of that. But then we've got a number of what we call mission opportunities coming up over the next few months, where we go and do A schools in countries that really can't afford even for them to cover the cost of their food. So in the next few months, we've got an A school in Uganda, and we've got our first Father Heart Ministries A school in Moscow in July, end of June, beginning of July. And so these are really exciting opportunities for us just to take this revelation of the Father into... We've been doing it in Uganda for a number of years, but this is the first time we've been able to be invited into Moscow. So I'm really looking forward to that. A little bit apprehensive about going into a very different culture, a very different environment. And the guy who's been going to visit churches in Moscow for a number of years, he was going to come with me to lead the A school. And we were together in Poland a few weeks ago, and he said, Moscow, Mark. And I said, yes. He said, I'm not coming with you anymore. I said, okay. He's had a number of health issues, and he's got a daughter who's got some serious health issues as well. And it's absolutely right that he stays at home. So I'm kind of thinking, okay, this has suddenly got a little bit bigger than I thought it might be. But so we want the offering to go towards those mission opportunities, that because we believe this revelation of knowing the Father and experiencing his love is for every stream of Christianity. You know, it's for every denomination, it's for every people group. And I was in a conference just about a year ago, and there was somebody in the conference, and she said, I don't get out of bed to do an A school for less than 200 people. And I thought, I get out of bed to do an A school for 10 people. Because, you know, it's not about numbers, it's about the one person in front of you that's heart is open to receive. And, you know, I keep coming back to that it's about the one. It's about the individual. It's about you. It's about me. It's about our hearts. And it's about us having our heart open to the Father. And the more I journey on this, the more I realize how important our heart is. You know, because Romans 5 verse 5 says, God pours his love into our heart through the Holy Spirit. And it's the substance and the reality of the Father's love being poured into our hearts. And in Proverbs, the writer talks about guarding your heart because it's the wellspring, it's the source of life. And I keep coming back to how important it is for us to have an open heart. You know, I got into trouble a few weeks ago because I was talking about it being the heart and not about the mind. You know, God doesn't pour his love into our minds in the hope that it will drop into our hearts. You know, we say this is the longest journey from the head to the heart, don't we? And we think, you know, why can't I get it down here? If only the penny would drop. And I've come to realize we're actually asking for the wrong thing. Because it doesn't work that way. You know, the penny doesn't drop from our mind to our heart. God pours his love straight into our hearts. And so I got into trouble. I was in Poland and I was speaking and I was saying, you know, it's all about our hearts and God bypasses our minds and he goes straight for our hearts. And I've seen that, you know, so many times in Africa and in other places where, you know, people don't have all the education that we're so blessed with. You know, they don't have all the skills and abilities we've learned. But yet they can, well, I think they receive more easily than us sometimes. And so in Poland, this guy came up to me and he said, Mark, he said, I really want to take issue with what you've said. He said, my mind is really important to me. And I said, that's good. You know, we need our minds. Yeah, you know, as Brian said, I'm an accountant. If you come and see me about your finances, you want me to use my mind. You know, you don't want, well, you might want me to put my arm around you and say, oh, I'm really sorry things are hard at the moment. Oh, I'm really sorry you're struggling. Oh, I'm really sorry your finances. You know, you might want that. You might need that. But that's not actually going to help you further on. You need me to use my mind. You know, if you're going to have an operation in hospital, it's nice that the doctor's sympathetic. It's nice that the doctor is compassionate. But you want him to use his knowledge when he's fixing you up. And so, our minds are important, but when we're talking about the love of the Father, it's the substance and the reality of his love that is poured into our hearts. And I am just so aware of how important it is for us to keep our hearts open and to keep coming to him and saying, Father, I want to receive more of your love. You know, at the beginning of John chapter 14, Jesus starts that chapter with these words. He says, let not your heart be troubled. And you see, I believe as he goes through those few chapters in John's gospel, he's leading us to a place of rest and contentment. At the end of John chapter 16, Jesus says, in the world you will have tribulation. And, you know, we know that, don't we? You know, in the world, there will be troubles. In the world, there will be stuff happening. And then Jesus says at the end of John 16, but fear not, for I have overcome the world. And I believe he wants to lead us into that place of contentment, where our hearts are content, where our hearts are at rest. You see, very often we think the stuff of life is the big things that happen. You know, we lose our job, or our kids are sick, or we go through unemployment or difficult situations, and we think those are the times that they are the only times that the Father wants to come alongside us and bring us into a place of peace or contentedness. But actually, he wants us to live our whole lives in that place of peace and rest and contentedness. And, you know, I had a really bad toothache yesterday. And it was really annoying me. Because you know what it's like? It's there all the time. And whenever you drink something, it's like, argh. And, you know, I was just aware of it. And I was getting cross. because I couldn't concentrate on what I was doing, and I was, you know, just aware of this pain, and suddenly I remembered that even in that little situation, God wants me to live in peace and rest, and to be in that place of contentedness with him. Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. See, we know those words so well, don't we? It's a very, very familiar chapter. And, you know, it almost trips off our tongues without us thinking about what Jesus is really saying. And Yeah, you know, I don't know about you, but my Sunday school picture of that was, you know, in my father's house are many rooms. And I had this great big picture of a big English country house. And in that house was a room with my name on. And that was good enough for me for a long time. But then I got married and I thought, well, I'd quite like my wife to share my room. So I thought, okay, there's this big house and on the door is Mark and Fiona. And then we had kids. And I think, okay, we'll have Mark and Fiona, Francis, Hillary, Hannah and John on my room door. And then the kids, well, one of our eldest is getting married this year. So that's another name that's going to have to go on the door. And then our other daughter's got a boyfriend, so that's probably got to go on the door too. And then I'm thinking, but my daughter's going to be part of this other family, so maybe her name will be on their door. And, you know, somehow that picture doesn't work for me anymore. Because I've come into a family. And many of us have also experienced that homecoming into a family. And I really have no idea what heaven's going to look like. And I'm not actually even sure that Jesus is talking about heaven in this chapter. But I don't know what heaven's going to be like. But what I do know is it's going to be based around a family and community and relationships. And so, you know, that picture of this big house, it doesn't work for me anymore. And Jesus said, you know, in my Father's house are many rooms. And I think what he's doing is he's painting a picture that people can understand. Because we understand home, don't we? You know, I love it when my kids come home. We've got four kids and we've got our youngest living at home. And our three daughters are living all over the place. But when they come home, I love it. Because it's like, I know they've come home. And I know there's something of family that is being rekindled. And so Jesus is giving us this picture of, he's basically saying, I'm talking about home. I'm talking about belonging. I'm talking about being where I am. And that's so incredible. That Jesus is saying, you know, you belong with me. You are with me. We are together. And I'm taking you to my Father's home. You know, I'm taking you to that place of absolute perfect belonging with my Father. And so this picture of a house with many rooms is really just that. It's just a picture. But it speaks to us of this sense of belonging, this sense of being totally at home. And Jesus says, you know, I'm going to prepare a place and I'm going to come back and I'm going to take you there. And we've so often thought that that is at the end of our lives when we go to heaven. But as we read through the rest of John chapter 14 and 15 and 16 and 17, we see that Jesus is showing us what our lives can be like now. That is, yes, he is talking about the future, but he's saying, this is what your lives can be like now. I'm taking you to that place of belonging with my Father. And I want you to live in his love now, today. I want your hearts not to be troubled, but to be filled with peace and rest. Because you know you belong. You know you're hidden in your Father's arms. See, that place of contentedness is something that eludes us so often, isn't it? You know, life is full of stuff, whether it's a toothache or losing a job or going through a period of sickness or whatever. Life is full of stuff. Stuff happens. And it's very easy for us to lose that sense of peace and well-being. And Jesus is saying, let not your hearts be troubled. Come and find this place of rest with me and my Father. Because that's got to be a good place to live. That's got to be a good place for us to be at home. There is something really special about being at home, isn't there? You know, I don't know if you're like me, when I get home at the end of my working day, I wear a suit to my office and look all smart and posh with a tie on and all that sort of stuff. But I'll tell you, as soon as I get home, the suit is off. You know, and I just find something like this and I find my slippers and I flop into my chair. And if anybody else is in my chair, if the cat is in my chair, he's out. The dog's definitely not in my chair. But, you know, there's just that sense of, I belong here. This is my home. This is where I can be safe. This is where I can be comfortable. This is where it doesn't matter anymore. And that's the place that the Father wants to take each of us. Is, I belong. I'm safe. I can relax. And you know, we have this saying, don't we? The Englishman's castle is his home. And there's something about that, you know, the safety and security of our own home. It's where we belong. It's where we can be ourselves. It's where we can relax. And Jesus is saying to us, I've got a place that I want to take you to where you can really belong, where you can really feel safe, where you can really feel secure, where you don't have to put on any pretense, but you can just be yourself. And that's our true home. That's the place of total contentedness that the Father is leading us to. Jesus says, I will go and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. And then he says this wonderful statement, and you know the way to where I am going. You know, I just feel like the disciples are sitting there thinking, you know, they know something's happening. This is Jesus' last night, last few days on earth. They know that people are out to kill him. They know that people want to get rid of him. They know something funny is going on. And Jesus is starting to talk to them about, I'm going away. And I'm going to take you with me. And I'm coming back. And, you know, it all gets a bit confused. These guys are only fishermen. And Jesus says, you know, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take you home. I'm going to take you to this place of peace and rest. And you know how to get there. And dear old Thomas, I am so glad Thomas opened his mouth. Because he basically says, we haven't got a clue what you're talking about. Yeah. You know, if Thomas hadn't, you know, Peter was probably sitting there thinking, what's he on about? I don't know what he's talking about. I haven't got a clue. But I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to look stupid. Yeah. You know, probably the other 11 all have got it sorted out. And Thomas, bless him, he says, we haven't got a clue what you're on about. You know, how can we know the way? And then Jesus says, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. Thomas is probably sitting there thinking, what? I haven't seen the Father. I've seen Jesus. We've heard about the Father. Jesus has spent 3 years telling us about his Father, but I haven't seen him. And Jesus says, but I am the way. You see, not only is he the way, but he became the way. Not only did he become the way, but he takes us into himself so that he takes us with him. It's not like it's just a signpost that says, go down here, this is the way. You know, if you follow this pathway, if you do this, this and this, then you'll get there. He says, no, 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 let me take you with me. And that's what Jesus wants to do. He wants to pick us up and take us to the Father. At the end of John chapter 17, Jesus says, You know, Father, I have revealed you to them. And then he says, I will go on revealing you to them. See, that's what he does. He constantly reveals the Father to us. You know, today, tomorrow, Monday, he will reveal the Father to us because he is always the way to the Father. And he has taken us into himself. You know, we are in Christ. We are in him. And he takes us in him to the Father. You know, he is the way. Derek Prince wrote an article shortly before he died. And he said this. He said, for 50 years, he said, I've taught that God is a Father. Now I know he is my Father. And he said, the problem is many of us get stuck on the way. But we have to understand that a way, a pathway, always has a destination. And Derek Prince says, Jesus is the way, but the Father is the destination. And many of us have got stuck on the way. And there's nothing wrong with worshipping Jesus. There's nothing wrong with loving Jesus. There's nothing wrong with having that intimate relationship with Jesus. But there's more, because Jesus wants to take us to his Father. He is the way to the Father. We are in him and we go where he is, so that we may be with him where he is. That where, you know, as Jesus is living in that place of intimacy with the Father, that he is living in that place of unity with the Father, that he is living in his Father's presence, he wants to take you and me to that same place. And that's when we find that place, that brings such peace and rest to our hearts. You know, Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. And many of us live with a troubled heart, don't we? Many of us live with the sort of the turmoil of the back and forth of stuff going on in our hearts. And Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Come with me to that place of rest. Let me take you to my Father so that you can find that contentedness that your heart is searching for. I am the way, I am the truth, Jesus said. Sometimes we don't like truth, do we? Because truth reveals what we really like. But Jesus said in John chapter 8, if you know the truth will set you free. You see, when we come to know him as the truth, it sets our hearts free. And sometimes knowing the truth about ourselves, knowing the truth about the state of our heart is an opportunity for us to let go of something. It's an opportunity to get rid of some of the rubbish in our hearts in order that we can pursue him. Sometimes that's not easy. Sometimes that's shaking the foundations or the traditions of our life. Sometimes it's even shaking our understanding of who God is. You know, it may be shaking those long-held beliefs or whatever. But Jesus says, if you know the truth will set you free. And if our hearts are on this journey to find freedom, then it's worth going through that. Because it's the truth. Knowing the truth, not only about ourselves, that's only a small part of it. The bigger truth is knowing who God really is. That he is our Father. And as we know that truth, that God is our Father, it leads us into a place of incredible freedom. It leads us into that place of, you know, the glorious freedom of the sons of God. That we actually begin to live like Jesus lived. The truth is not something to be afraid of. The truth is something that liberates us and sets us free. The trouble is, we have this thing, don't we? You know, I want to tell you something in love. We know jolly well it's not going to be said in love. And it's, at the end of the day, it's just someone's opinion of something. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about if you know the person of truth, if you know him, it will set you free, because it will lead you into this pathway to find your Heavenly Father and to find that place of total rest and contentedness where our hearts are at peace. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, Jesus said in John 10, verse 10, I have come that you might have life and life in all its fullness. I want that. I want an abundant life. You know, I've spent far too long not enjoying my life. And Jesus said, I have come that you might have an abundant life, life to the full. Have you ever heard people say, I'm going to enjoy my Christian life now? Well, that's fine. But there's a naughty little question that goes off in my mind when people say that. You know, they say, I'm going to enjoy my Christian life. And I say, well, what about your non-Christian life? Or what about, you know, if you've got a Christian life, what's the rest of it? And, you know, we only have one life. There's only me. There's not a Christian me and another me. It's certainly not a non-Christian me. You know, I just want to enjoy all of my life. And we've drawn this stupid line between the spiritual and the secular. And it doesn't, as far as God is concerned, it doesn't exist. You know, as far as God is concerned, he just looks on us as his sons and daughters. And part of our life we go to church, and part of our life we go to the office, and part of our life we go to the shops, and part of our life we go on holiday, part of our life we go to the movies. You know, that's, as far as he's concerned, all part of our Christian life. But we limit it. I'm going to enjoy going to church. You know? And it's a false divide. And when people say, I'm going to enjoy my Christian life, I ask them, well, what about the rest of your life? Because Jesus came that we would have life in all its fullness. And I know this might sound a bit odd to some people, but I actually enjoy going to work. I don't enjoy the government changing the legislation every year. When I started out as an accountant 30 years ago, the budget, the day after the budget, they produce a book of all the stuff they haven't said in the budget speech, which is all the real changes. You know, no one cares about a few pence off a packet of fags or a bit extra on a packet of a bottle of beer or anything. You know, that's okay, that's headline grabbing stuff. But most of the legislation is, when I started, was in a book that thick. This year, it's that thick. You know, and it's like, oh, you know, I do not enjoy that. Fortunately, I have staff who read those books and enjoy reading them and tell me what I need to know. But, you know, I enjoy going to work. I enjoy meeting my clients. I enjoy going for a walk with the dog, believe it or not. You know, because God wants us to enjoy all of our lives. He wants us to enjoy every part of our lives. And as we find this place where the trouble in our heart ceases and is brought to a place of rest, then we will find that we will enjoy our life more. And we will enjoy every aspect of our life more. That's not to say there won't be disappointments. That's not to say, you know, stuff will keep on happening. But we can draw back to that place of contentedness and rest with our Father. See, Jesus opens a door and he says, I don't want you to live. See, what he's really targeting is the orphan-hearted way of mankind. You know, he's showing us that we don't have to strive, that we don't have to have this inner turmoil inside of us that is like this engine trying to sort of do all the time. Jesus is just saying, hey, chill. Just relax. because Almighty God just happens to be your Father. Just rest in Him. Let the trouble and the turmoil of your heart come to a place of rest, because my Son has brought you into my presence. My Son has brought you to my heart. That's your true home. And Jesus says, you know, He answers Thomas's question. You know, Jesus says, you know where I'm going. You know the way to get there. Thomas says, we haven't got a clue. And Jesus explains how we can find that pathway to life. And he ends up, he says, now on, you do know him and you have seen him. And I think Thomas nudged Philip and said, I've asked one stupid question, mate. It's your turn now. And Philip, he says, we don't think we've seen the Father. We've seen you. We've seen what you've done. But we haven't seen the Father. Show us. Show us the Father, and that's enough. Show us the Father, and that's enough. You know, there's that song, Carrie Joby sings a song, you know, you're always enough. You're always enough. And I was listening to that in my car a few weeks ago as I was driving along, and Father said to me, he said, am I always enough? Am I always enough? And yeah, I was being honest because I was in the car on my own. And I said, in theory, yes. You know, where I'm sitting today, everything's going well. Yeah, you're always enough. And he said, am I always enough? And I thought, I don't know. I don't know. You know, in theory, yes, I wanted to be, yes. But will I get into a situation where that is challenged? I think the answer is probably yes. Because I think that's what happens. And he said, am I always enough? And I thought, well, I want you to be always enough. And when push comes to shove, I hope you will always be enough. See, I've been on this journey with the Father for 12, 13 years. And I've seen people come alongside and walk the walk for a few months, a few years. And then something happens. And you suddenly see that Father is not enough for them. I got some really good friends who got divorced a couple of years ago. Father was enough for them in that situation. But they chose not to rest back in him. You see, and Philip says, show us the Father, and that's enough. And everything in my heart cries out and says, yes, Father, I want you to be enough. Yes, Father, when stuff happens, when I go through things, when the stuff of life is going on all around me, I want you to be enough. And I've chosen, and we have to keep on choosing to fall back into his arms so that he is enough for us. Because when we step out of that place and we try and walk in independence, the Father is still enough, but we've chosen to ignore it. And Philip says, show us the Father, and that's enough. And Jesus says, I've been with you so long. Philip, you've missed the point. I always feel sorry for Philip. He's asked the question all of us want to ask. You know, he's put on his lips those words, you know, we don't know what you're talking about. You know, him and Thomas are my heroes. Because without them, we would not have had this beautiful explanation of who the Father is. And Jesus says to Philip, I've been with you so long and you still don't know me. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. And I just think Philip's trying to process that, thinking, what? You know, it's like he still hasn't got it. And Jesus goes on, for whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? I mean, these guys are fishermen. And they're confused enough. And now Jesus is saying, don't you know the Father's in me and I'm in the Father? What? You know, who's in who? Yeah. And it gets even more confusing a bit later on because we're in them as well. You know, we're in the Father, the Father's in us, and Jesus is in the Father, and you know, it's like, excuse me? Who's in who? It's just I love watching the Six Nations rugby. You know, when they have those great big bundles on the floor and it's just a complete mess. I think it's like that. You know, there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and all of us having a big bundle on the floor together. That's the only way I can describe it. You know, because we're in him and he's in us. Jesus says to Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because I am the exact representation of my Father. And this place that he is taking us to is in the Father, because we are in Christ. And Jesus says, don't you know that I'm in the Father? And if you're in me, then we're in the Father together. And that is the place where our hearts are not troubled. That's the place where there's peace and rest and contentedness. That's the place where we say, I belong. And that's the place that's our place. That's the Father's desire for you and me today, is to take us deeper and deeper and deeper into that place of being at home with the Father. That's the doorway that's been opened up for us. Jesus goes on to say throughout John chapter 14, and he says it three times. He says, if you love me, you will obey me. You see, he's challenging the orphanness, and it's challenging the striving in their hearts. And, you know, we've had this impression for so long that if I do enough for God, if I obey him enough, then maybe one day he might just love me. You know, maybe one day I'll do enough that he puts a tick in the box. But that's not the point. Obedience comes out of love. If you love me, you will obey me. In Psalm 40, it says, I delight to do your will. There's nothing, you know, obedience is not obedience when you do it out of your heart. You know, it's only obedience with our children was only obedience when there was an issue, when I wanted them to do something and they didn't want to do it. You know, and it was an issue of obedience. But as our children have grown up, they've actually become our friends, which is quite nice. And now they do things to please us, sometimes. You know, they still come home and they still kick off their shoes and they still leave their shoes lying around the hall. You know, some of you ladies will understand this. But my daughter can come home and within about half an hour, there's four pairs of her shoes in the hall. It's like, you know, where do they come from? You know, it's like, that's one issue of obedience we've not quite conquered yet. You know, when you love someone and you want to please them, it's not obedience. It's just longing to please them. And when we love our Father so much, we just long and delight to do his will. It's not a question of him laying down the law and saying, this is what you've got to do in order to find acceptance. You see, our acceptance is not based on what we do. Our acceptance is based on who we are and what has been done for us. And it's our hearts that the Father is after. He's not after our obedience, he's after our hearts. Because if he gets our hearts, then we'll just do what he wants anyway. Not because it's an issue of an obedience, but because it's an issue of pleasure to please him. See, the orphan-hearted way that we've walked in for so long says, I've got to do something. I can only be at peace if I do something. How can I ever do enough? You know, how can you and I ever do enough to please the God of the universe? We can't. We can't do enough. And Jesus is saying, for goodness sake, let go of all of that stuff. Let me take you home. Let me take your heart home to the heart of my Father, so that you can find that place of security and safety. See, obedience is not what he's after. He's after our hearts. And then he says these very famous words in verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. See, Jesus sees the orphan-hearted ways of mankind. He sees what we stepped into in the garden at the end of Genesis chapter 3. When we left the garden, all of us were in Adam. And Adam followed the ultimate orphan, Satan. And he chose to walk in independence. And that's become the state of the human heart. And Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to take you home to my Father. I'm going to come to you. I'm going back to my Father. I'm going to send another counselor, the Holy Spirit, who will be with you. I'm going back to my Father, and my Father and I are going to come and make our home with you. See, I know what my heart's like. And if I was God, I wouldn't make my home in my heart. Because, you know the thoughts and the attitudes that go through your heart, don't you? If you've been married a long time, you can think what you know what your wife or your husband is thinking. You know, maybe even you'll say the same words at the same time. But you don't know everything that's going on in their heart. And they don't know everything that's going on in your heart. See, we have this thing here. It's called a trapdoor. Most of the time, it manages to keep closed and keep inside what's inside. But sometimes we're not very good and it comes out of the mouth, the heart speaks. You see, and we know what our hearts are like. But yet that's the very place the Father says, I'm going to come and make my home. Jesus says, I'm going back to my Father and we're going to come and make our home with you. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, my very Spirit. I'm going to send my Spirit into your spirit so that you know, as Paul says, that you have the spirit of sonship inside of you that enables you to cry, Abba. See, the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit of sonship. And it's the very presence of God the Father in your heart and in my heart. See, Jesus is saying, I want you to come home. I want you to belong. I want you to know that this is the only place that you are totally, totally safe. When your heart is wrapped up in my heart. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to come to you. And then towards the end of the chapter, Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. See, when we let go of our orphan-heartedness, when our heart finds its home with the Father, we can enter and experience that peace that Jesus is talking about. My peace I give you. It's not our peace. It's not a peace we drum up. It's that peace that hymn writer wrote about when he said, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. See, I can make myself be peaceful. I can create a nice environment. I can have a nice, comfortable room. We had a friend staying with us just the last few days, and he was from Kansas City. And I took him for a walk around our town of Abingdon. And he was walking around. I thought it was quite busy. You know, it was like it normally is. You know, it's like Abingdon is like it normally is. And we went into a coffee shop and had some coffee, and then we walked down to the church, and it was just like normal. And he said, oh, he said, it's so peaceful here. He said, oh, this town is so peaceful. Well, maybe compared to Kansas City, it is. See, that's not what Jesus is talking about. He's not talking about an external peaceful environment. We can create that. But he's talking about our hearts. He's talking about the peace that is in our hearts. And he says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you with a troubled heart. I'm not going to leave you in this state of striving, trying to work hard to please God. But I want to take you home so that you know my peace. And it's a peace that passes all understanding. It's a peace that passes all understanding. And, Father wants to take our hearts home. He wants to take us home so that we live this earthly life in his presence. You know, it's not something that is ours one day. Well, it is something that ours one day, but it's something we can grow into now.
Yeah, that's right.
It's something we can walk in now. To live as sons and daughters in exactly the same way as Jesus lived as a son. Let's just take a couple of minutes just before the break. I'm just going to put a bit of music on. And let's just quietly say, Father, I really want to experience being at home with you.